Thank you. Thank you, Carmen, for that beautiful offering song. Good afternoon, everyone. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. My name is Pastor Nate. I'm the youth pastor, the worship pastor here at SP. And because Pastor Sam was away at EG retreat over the weekend, I have been given the privilege to share the word with you today. So praise the Lord for that. Matthew 25, verse 14 through verse 30. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand and we'll get you a Bible. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for this Sunday. I thank you for being with us in the morning service and for bringing us here this afternoon for our afternoon service. And I thank you for just being with us throughout the week and bringing us back to church today, giving us a time just to reflect and worship you through our singing. Thank you for the praise report for what you did last Sunday. And we just thank you that you are active and at work in our lives. We thank you for the movie yesterday and just how that blessed so many of us, God. And we give this time to you. I pray for just the revelation of the Holy Spirit to come today so that we will have open hearts, open ears to hear and to receive what you are saying to us today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I was praying and trying to prepare for this message, and I was thinking back about what God had been doing in our church over the past few weeks and the past month or so. And if you look back at the beginning of October, we had our SP retreat, and we had two fantastic speakers come from Singapore and Malaysia, and they really gave us the word. They really brought it, right? They rocked us with the word of God, and it really inspired us, right, to be radically dedicated to God and to be a church that evangelizes and bring people to church and really make a difference in this world. And then after the retreat, a few weeks after that, we had Lauren Cunningham, the founder of YWAM, come to our church, which is really an amazing privilege, and he brought the word, and he really shared with us and inspired us with his sharings about what God is doing all around the world, talking about world evangelism and how we can partake in that as a church. And then last Sunday we had Poverty Sunday, and Pastor Eugene, he brought it, right? He brought the word and he spoke to us and he inspired us and he challenged us to join God in this act of helping the poor and helping to eradicate poverty in this world. And we've been inspired, we've been challenged, and I believe that SP, our church, we emphasize this aspect of discipleship. You know, we really want the people of our church not just to be a nominal churchgoers, but we want our people to be disciples of Christ, right? Men and women who really give everything to God and follow Him. And so it's good for us to be inspired, to have thoughts about radical dedication, world evangelism, eradication of poverty. So I was thinking and praying, and I wanted to kind of give the next word for us, you know. So now what? We've been inspired by all these things. Now what do we do? You know, how do we participate in what God is doing? Because these messages are good, these inspirations are good, but we don't want to stop at just being inspired. I mean, it feels so great to be inspired, but we don't want that to be the stop. So I believe the word for us today is to be faithful in small things. That's the title of the sermon, Faithful in the Small Things. And we see in this passage the man with the 5 bags of gold, the man with the 2 bags of gold, being faithful with the small things. And Jesus says, or the master says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You are faithful with the small things. I will entrust you with more. And so that's what I want to share with you today. And I want to say, hey, if you want to get involved with these things, start with the small things and stay faithful with them, and God will lead you to the greater, the bigger, as He sees fit. We're all familiar with this profound truth because we've all seen the movie Karate Kid. Yes? The Karate Kid and any other Kung Fu movie, you can watch Kung Fu Panda. If you're too young for Karate Kid, you've seen Kung Fu Panda. And the whole theme of faithful with the little and God leading you to the greater, that comes through in these movies, right? You have, because I don't know if you've seen the Karate Kid. It's a little boy and he's learning Kung Fu, or he's learning karate, and the master wants him to practice these silly little moves. Wax on, wax off, or I think this was a move, you know, painting. And they don't he doesn't understand why the master wants him to learn these moves, but when the time comes, these moves are so natural for him and he can use them in a fight, right? And the same thing with Kung Fu Panda. And we know this. We know, you know, faithful in the small and it'll lead to greater things, but we always need a reminder. In our, especially in our daily lives, you know, to be faithful in the small things, and God will lead us, and He will guide us into kind of the calling that He has put upon our lives. We have a longing. Each of us have a longing for greatness. We have a longing for deep and lasting impact. And because of this, it's easy for us to focus on the big thing. You know, we always want to be about the spectacular. It's easy to do, to like think about the spectacular and to be part of something huge. But I want to encourage us, instead of just simply longing for something bigger and wishing for a larger platform of influence, let's do well with the things that you've been given, you know, in your own walk right now. So I just want to share 3 things with you about being faithful in the small things and why we should, you know, why we need to. So the first point is, number 1, small things help us get started. Small things help us get started. You know, when we hear these great sermons that encourage us, that inspire us, and we learn of these great opportunities, we get excited, right? It's exciting to hear about these things. And sometimes what happens is we just, we daydream, you know? We fantasize about, wow, what God could do through me, you know? And we think about, oh, I wish I could participate in this big thing, you know? And we kind of romanticize this idea of, you know, going on missions giving up everything for God and living with the poor and doing this and doing that. And we hear of people that want to go to Cambodia, you know, full time and be a missionary, or go to Africa, or sell what they have and live with the poor. And we just kind of daydream about it. We fantasize and we think, oh, it'll be so wonderful. But many of us, we stop at the daydreaming. You know, we stop at just fantasizing about it. We stop at just kind of thinking how wonderful it will be, and it doesn't lead us into action. I think something happens, this happens to me, you know, when I get inspired and I hear about all these great things, I'll think about, you know, oh, what I could do, and I feel good about myself. You know, I think to myself, well, see, I'm this kind of a person that gets excited about these things. I get excited about helping the poor, and I get inspired about world evangelism. And we just kind of feel good about ourselves, but it doesn't move us into anything. And we have these romanticized ideas. You know, we were watching Father of Lights, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but let me spoil just one scene. There's this couple who have given up everything to go to China because they were touched by the love of God, and they go to China, and they're just, they don't know anything about China. They go there, 3 days in a hotel, and they find an apartment. And its apartment is dirty, there's rats, raw sewage, and the mother is sharing this story, and she says, up until that point, everything was exciting for her. You know, giving up everything, they were wealthy people, they sold everything, they packed their bags, they came to China, everything was exciting for her. And then sitting there in the new apartment and watching her children, 3 children, walk into the apartment, and they're trying to be brave, you know, do the best for the parents because they've made this decision to come here. And then she's weeping, you know, in the movie, and she says, and it hit her. The reality of the sacrifice hit her, you know, and we often forget the reality of the sacrifice, and we just think, oh, it'll be so cool. You know, we think, oh, man, if I only had the opportunity to go, you know, man, if I wasn't tied down with so many responsibilities, blah, blah, man, I would really go and live for God and do this big thing. But I just want to suggest to you, I suggest to us, that if we're not getting involved in the small things now and remaining faithful, when a big opportunity comes, we're not going to be ready. You know, if we're not ready to inconvenience ourselves in the small way, with the small things, the small opportunities that we have at church to get involved, we're not going to be ready to inconvenience ourselves in a big way if a bigger opportunity were to come. So I just want to say, you know, if you are passionate about poverty, especially after last Sunday, God's just been speaking to me. This whole week I was meditating upon poverty, and interestingly enough, with my fuller education that I'm getting, this whole week was on poverty. Like, how can we do, what can we do as leaders to help the poor and serve the poor for the common good and all that stuff. So I was meditating on it. And I just want to say, if that's your passion, if you are inspired by that, don't let it stop you at inspiration, but just get involved, even with the small things that we're doing as a church. You know, you can join the homeless outreach ministry. Maybe you can commit to visiting the poor just once a week, just to get started and stay faithful with it and see where God leads you through that. And if you're passionate about evangelism, sharing the gospel, prophesying over people, praying for them so that they can experience the love of God, I just want to say, hey, maybe you could join the Well ministry, you know, so that you can learn how to pray for people and you can learn how to prophesy over people and hear God's voice and stay faithful here so that when bigger opportunities come outside, you can really step in faith, you know. And we talked about radical dedication, right? And especially when at the retreat, Pastor Ong talked about aligning ourselves to the vision of the church. And sometimes we think that's something great and big, but I just want to say, hey, start giving faithfully to church. You know, start tithing faithfully to church and to what we're doing. Start giving to the building fund. Those are easy things, but we can start with the easy, smaller things and stay faithful. Don't wait for the big opportunity. You know, I just want to encourage you to be faithful in your house church attendance. You know, be faithful to your community and go there faithfully. And so these small things are relatively easy to do, but it helps us get out of just simply daydreaming and being inspired and fantasizing about things, into actual action, into actually inconveniencing ourselves in small ways to get involved. So small things help us get started. Number two, the second point, this may be for some of you, you're already doing the small things, or some of you are thinking about doing the small things. Small things build our character. It's the small things that build our character. Mother Teresa says this. She says, "Be faithful in the small things because it is in them that your strength lies. It is in your small things that your strength lies." And really, the true test of our character comes not in the big things, but it comes in the things that where nobody sees you doing it. Nobody notices you doing it. But your character is shown through your attitude and how you do the small things that nobody notices. Because, you know, the big things, it's easy to give your 100% for the big things because everybody notices it. Everybody sees what you're doing in the big things, you know. Just an example is I'm a youth pastor, right? And if I am given the opportunity to come here to preach to the big church, I just put in my 110% effort because I get so nervous. I'm like, I gotta prepare, and I stay up late and I prepare the message. Yet when it's a youth group message, sometimes when I'm not doing so well, I might wing it a little bit, you know? I might just say, "Oh, I think I have enough. You know, I think I know what I'm doing, so I'll just go in there and do it." And silly example, but it's true. You know, when I was leading children's worship, same thing. Worship leading here at Big Church, I would prepare, spend all this time. When it's children's worship time, I would prepare the night before, you know, just pick three songs and just do it kind of thing. But it's the small things where nobody notices that really is a test of our character and our faithfulness. I honored them this morning, but I'll honor them again. I want to honor the PowerPoint ministry and the sound ministry, right? Because they never get noticed for what they're doing. That's something that they do faithfully week in and week out. And we only notice them if something goes wrong, right? We only give them the death stare if something goes wrong. But by the way, I just want to say, don't look at them. If something is not working, just look at the front, you know? Just wait patiently for them to figure it out, because it's pressure. I've been back there, we don't enjoy it. So just look at the front, trust that they'll figure it out at some point. But yeah, you know, they faithfully serve, and they're not noticed, but it's a small thing, but they do it faithfully. And it's not just PowerPoint. It's, you know, our house church refreshment people, they do it every week. You know, our cleanup crew and barista, welcoming ministry, they don't really get noticed for anything, but, you know, we love, but they do it, you know, and they faithfully serve. And these are the things that kind of is a test of our character. And I just want to say, if you feel like you're doing something at church and you are going totally unnoticed, totally feeling unappreciated, I want to say it's a good thing. It's a good thing for you because that's how God is building your character. Right? Because if you're always getting appreciated, you're doing it because it feels good. I mean, it feels good to get the attention, get the appreciation. But when times, you know, when you're serving and you're serving and no one says thank you, no one notices you, stay faithful and check your attitude. You know, because you can be faithful, but if you have a crap attitude, it's not doing anything. But stay faithful and have a good attitude, and then trust that God's building your character through that and just preparing you for something greater in the future. So I just want to say how we do things and the kind of attitude and the kind of heart that we have, those are the things that cultivate and build our character. So let's do the small things well, because small things build our character. Oh, and the key thing is character is so important because we lead out of our character. You know, when those big opportunities happen, when those spectacular things come your way, if your character is not built and you haven't developed godly character, it's going to come out through how you lead. You know, because we always lead and we And we do things out of our being, right? We do things out of who we are, out of our character. So we have to work on our character. So small things build our character. And the third point, why is it important for us to stay faithful in the small things is the small things are the big things. Yeah, in God's perspective, the small things are the big things. Because I think God measures greatness and big so differently from the way we do. We might think, oh, just this little thing that I'm doing is so insignificant. But to God, He's saying, wow, that's a great thing you're doing. First of all, we don't know the impact that we have when we do the small things, right? I have a story to share about that. I had a friend who was a pastor at the time I knew him, but he shares about his conversion experience, and he was so depressed one day. He didn't know God. He didn't have any hope. He was walking, I think, through the campus, and he wanted to kill himself. He really thought, okay, if nothing happens, I'm just going to kill myself today. And some random stranger came up to him, pretty shy, pretty, like, not confident, pretty nervous, and just said, hey, Jesus loves you. And he walked past, right? But he said that man saved his life. I mean, he wasn't even like super confident, super like powerful. He said he looked shy and whatever, but he said Jesus loves you, and that saved his life. You know, we don't know the impact of the small things that we do. So, I mean, the small things are the big things in that way. But also, because we think the small things are nothing, but God sees them as big things, you know, because the way He measures greatness is so different from the way we measure our greatness. You know, He talks about, Jesus talks about the thing that we do to the least of these. I mean, we might think it's nothing to help out somebody, you know, one of the least of these. He says, that's the thing that you do to me. And Jesus, He shows His care for children, you know. And I was just sharing about children's worship, right? I mean, I could think, oh, children's worship, whatever. It's a small thing. But really, maybe God's saying, you stupid, you know? Like, children are so significant, and yet I don't realize it, you know? I just think it's a small thing. But we have to see and understand and have this revelation that the small things are great and big in God's eyes, because He really cares for the small things. Yeah, Jesus says, if you want to be great, you must serve. Yet, our serving, you know, we cannot do this like to try and trick God. You know what I mean? Serving cannot be just a means to an end, because God will see right through you. You can't be like, oh, I'm serving, 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 and like, God, come on. I'm serving, serving, so make me great. That's not going to work. God sees your heart. But God, Jesus is saying, if you truly can lay down your desire for greatness, what you think is great, what you think is spectacular, what you think is big, if you can lay that down and just remain faithful, then yeah, God will make you great, but it might not be great the way you think you want to be great. You know what I mean? It's going to be great in God's eyes, but it's not necessarily going to be to puff us up and to make us feel like we've achieved something. You know, just an example is, sometimes we consider the small things as a means to an end, especially in our role as pastors. Sometimes the career path is you start off as a youth pastor, and then your goal, your dream is to become a senior pastor, you know? But many people see youth ministry as a means to an end. But I think you've missed the point. If we stay faithful in the small things, because we see the small thing as a means to an end to reach some kind of greatness, what you think is great and big, you've missed it. It's the small things that are big in God's eyes. And if you look at Jesus, Jesus stayed faithful in the small things. I love that story of Jesus stopping for Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus is, who's Zacchaeus? He's just a rich guy, and he's short, climbs a tree to look at Jesus, right? And we think, I mean, that's a really small thing that Jesus does. But He stops for Zacchaeus. He stops his path, and then He says, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to spend time with you at your place. And really, that's a small thing, you know? But for Jesus, that was a big thing. And we need to kind of have a mindset change and understand that the small things are, in fact, the big things. So, 3 points. Small things help us get started. You know, if you're wondering, how can I get involved? You know, how can I really participate in serving the poor and evangelizing and just really dedicating myself to the church and stuff? You know, start with the small and stay faithful with it because small things will build our character for whatever bigger assignment God might have for us. But even if God does not, we need to understand small things are the big things, and those things matter to God. How faithful we are in the small things matter to God. I want to share with you just a story of this one lady. Her name is Corrie ten Boom, and she's written a book called The Hiding Place, which is one of my favorite books. And she was born in 1892. She's a Dutch lady, and for 50 years, nothing really significant happened in her life. She just stayed faithful to God. Her family was a Christian. Her dad owned a watch shop, and the whole family just stayed faithful Christians, going to church and trying to just worship God through their lives. She didn't get married. Her sister didn't get married. You know, nothing significant happens for 50 years of her life. And then, without her expecting anything, you know, the whole story of the World War II and then the Nazis and the Jews started getting persecuted. And in 1942, that's when God kind of opened a way for the family to start helping out the Jews. And that's why the book is called The Hiding Place, because they would take Jews in and hide them in their building. And she eventually came to lead, you know, this underground organization and become a real strong figure in this movement of helping the Jews. Eventually, the whole family gets caught, but she survives the concentration camp. But, you know, we romanticize the big things, right? And we think, wow, we want to, like, serve the poor and sacrifice and do these things. But Corrie ten Boom, she didn't chase after anything. You know, she didn't chase after the big things. She didn't chase after some significant ministry or some you know, world impact or anything like that. She just stayed faithful with what God had given to her. And when the need arose and when the time came, her faithfulness in God allowed her to be able to serve the people in a very desperate time. And I just want to say, you know, we always talk about dreaming big, but sometimes I feel like that's misleading. Sometimes I think it's used in a wrong way, because we say dream big, but what we mean is dream in a way that, like, you're going to become great, you know? But it really shouldn't be about us. And if you just give up your dream of being someone great and doing something amazing, world impact or something, I mean, if it's God-given, that's great. Don't let me deter you from that. But sometimes we have this attitude and we long for something great. But if we really check our heart, it's a selfish thing. It's a self-promoting kind of thing. And so just lay that down and be faithful where you have been planted. Be faithful where God has planted you, and He's going to lead you to something greater. So that's the word for the day, and I'm going to pray for us, and then Pastor Eugene is going to come and lead us in a time of communion. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your love. And I thank you for what you've been doing in our church. Thank you for just the awesome speakers you've brought to us, God, and for challenging us and for leading us and really showing us some of the things, some of the dreams that you might have for the church, and how you want us to really be partners and participants in these amazing things you're doing around the world. But I pray, God, that we will not get so caught up in just dreaming about the big that we forget to obey you in the small things. And I pray that you would help us to see and hear from you what the small things are that you're leading us to, and help us to be faithful in those things, God. And we just thank you for this opportunity to come before you in this time of communion. Help us to just hear from you and experience you in this time. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If I could ask the ushers to come up, and in a moment we're going to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" On that day, if you could feel the atmosphere in the room, Jesus was very clear. He wanted his followers and his disciples throughout history to remember him, to remember what he was about to do, to remember the sacrifice that he was about to pay, to remember the gift that he was about to give. And so we're going to do that this afternoon. And so the elements are going to be passed to you. If for any reason you feel like maybe you shouldn't be taking the elements, then just that's fine. But as you receive the elements, please hold on to both of them, and we'll take it together. And as we do that, let's sing this together.
No depth and no height can weaken your
In our hands is sacred. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood that was shed for you. Let's partake them both now in remembrance of Him. Oh God, it's through your body and your blood that we experience your grace. God, we remember the sacrifice that you shed on the cross. We acknowledge you in all of our ways. We thank you for the gift of life. God, we experience you now. Father, we thank you for your love, and we love you in return. God, we honor you with our lives. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we stand to our feet? And let's sing the chorus as we close our service. Close our service with a benediction. May you go and serve in the small things, and may God elevate it into greater things. May He raise you into a place of prominence in the places of the least and the lost and the poor. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Father and the fellowship of our Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name, amen.